Welcome to our series of Advent. In the next 4 weeks, you'll be hearing all kinds of Christmas stories. But before we begin, I want to ask you a question. What is something that you love about Christmas? What's something that you love about the Christmas season? Now, Christmas is awesome, right? It's fun. It's joy. So why not just skip straight to Christmas Day or even Christmas Eve? Why Advent? Now, the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus. Now, I don't really know Latin, but I do know that word. And Adventus means coming or arrival. Advent is this time of expectant waiting while we prepare for the celebration of the coming of Jesus as a baby. We also prepare in anticipation for the arrival of Christ again. Advent, expectant waiting. And in this first story of Advent, maybe it's a story that you've heard before, the angel Gabriel drops a bomb on Mary and tells her something that changes the entire course of human history. The birth and resurrection of Jesus, two events that change the trajectory of human history unlike anything since and anything that will come. Now, in this story, in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she is going to give birth to a son. This son will be Jesus, and Jesus will be the Messiah, the Savior. Now, if I was Mary, I'd feel a little bit freaked out. So kind of change my plans for the day a little bit. If I found out I was suddenly, against all scientific possibility and probability, going to be pregnant with a baby, let alone the Messiah. Now, to explain how impossible this probably felt, we need to know a little bit about Mary. Mary, by all accounts, was an ordinary girl, probably about 14 or 15 years old. Now, I think about myself as a 14 or 15-year-old, roughly a freshman in high school. I could barely take care of myself, let alone a baby, let alone a baby that was going to be the Messiah, right? So Mary, this teenager, engaged to Joseph. And they're from a town called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was nothing like Rome or Paris or Dubai, or even Davis, California. In fact, Nathaniel in John chapter 1, verse 46, says this about Nazareth. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nothing good was expected to come from Nazareth. So here is this teenager, this woman, this young woman with no political or social power, from this bad rap town called Nazareth. She, against all scientific possibility, is going to give birth to Jesus. Now, this was not the angel Gabriel's first time surprising an ordinary person with a miraculous birth, with news of a miraculous birth. In fact, earlier in this story, Gabriel appears to Zechariah at his workplace. Zechariah, who was a senior citizen, and he says to Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and his name will be John. Completely improbable, impossible. So God, at the time that angel Gabriel comes to visit Mary, God was already in the business of these kinds of surprises. And what he called Mary to seemed impossible. But as we see, God is about to make the impossible very possible as we unfold story in Advent. Now, I was trying to think about something that I've experienced or witnessed that felt impossible. And the very first and the very best thing I came up with was something from March 2018. Now, in 2018, March, there was a tournament, a college basketball tournament that happens every year called March Madness. I don't actually know if that's its official name or that's what society has called it. March Madness. March Madness brings together 64 teams in college basketball. And they play a tournament to determine who is the champion. And at that time, in March of 2018, the Virginia Cavaliers were the number one team in the whole nation. They had a great season. They were playing great entering the tournament. They were the favorites to win the entire tournament. Now, their first round matchup was against a team from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I had never heard of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County before March of 2018. I assume most people outside of Baltimore had not either. So this team, their mascot is actually the Labrador Retrievers. How amazing is that? The Retrievers, coming from a school of 11,000 students and a budget for athletics of $16 million, playing against the number one team, Virginia Cavaliers, 22,000 students and a budget of $106 million for athletics. By all accounts, Virginia was the favorite here. The University of Maryland Baltimore County Retrievers were ranked number 16 in their bracket. Now, if you were number 16 in your bracket, that means you were the worst team in that bracket, and you might have been the worst team in the entire tournament. And up until March of 2018, there had been 132 matchups, 132 games played between a 1 seed and a 16 seed in that first round of March Madness. And in 132 matchups, the 1 seed had won each and every time, all 132 times. So when it came time for the Retrievers to play the Cavaliers, this was going to be no contest. In fact, NBC Sports said this in their pregame review. It said, "It isn't a question of if Virginia will win. Go watch something else." Like, don't waste your time, right? Of course Virginia's going to win. So March 16th, 2018, there I was with my husband at Sophie's Thai Kitchen down in downtown Davis. We were watching this game unfold amidst all the other games playing that day. And as the minutes wore down in the second half, it was clear that the Baltimore County Retrievers were going to be victorious. When that clock hit zero, the Baltimore County Retrievers, the 16 seed, probably the worst team in the entire tournament, had beaten the best team. It wasn't even like a last minute win. It was an absolute drubbing. They won by 20 points. This, my friends, the 16 seed being the 1 seed, was previously thought to be impossible. And there we were at Sophie's Thai Kitchen watching this. And my actual favorite part of this whole thing is we're watching the final seconds wind down, witnessing history. My husband looks around at the other patrons in the restaurant eating their pad thai and spring rolls who aren't even paying attention to the TV. And he says, "Are you kidding? They're missing out on history. This may never happen again. This is totally impossible." And like, there they are, right? Eating their spring rolls and pad thai, not even paying attention. So if you're there, I'm sorry you missed it that day. I'm in no way equating March Madness to the birth of Jesus. That'd be silly. But rather, I'm highlighting something that everyone thought was impossible. It suddenly became possible. It became a reality. And in Luke chapter 1, we see God calling Mary to the impossible. Scientifically impossible. And in fact, for someone like her, pregnant out of wedlock, it would have had some significant social implications, social outcasts. This would be a hard calling. So take a second. How would you feel, or how do you feel, when it feels like God calls you to the impossible? How do you feel? Now, if I was listing feelings I felt on a piece of paper, I'd have one feeling, and that feeling would be fear. I would be afraid. And God anticipates that Mary is going to be afraid too, because the angel Gabriel tells Mary this in verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth will bear a child." Mary, do not be afraid. Zechariah, do not be afraid of what feels like an impossible call. If we compare the response of Mary to the response of Zechariah to this call, we can see that how we respond to God matters. Let's take Mary first. Mary responds this way in verse 34. "How will this be?" When the angel Gabriel tells her what is to come, she responds with, How will this be? Not why, or why me, or are you sure, or no thank you. How will this be? And in verse 38, she responds with what is one of the best responses that anyone has ever given anyone else in the Bible. She responds this way: may it be to me as you say. And the angel Gabriel leaves her. Now, contrast with Zechariah. Verse 18, he responds this way: how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure? How can I be sure, Gabriel? And because of this response, because of his doubt, because of the doubt of Zechariah, Gabriel tells him, Zechariah, you will not be able to speak until your son is born. He falls silent for months because of the doubt of his response. Now the question becomes, when we are faced with an impossible call, do we respond like Zechariah or do we respond like Mary? Now, it took me exactly 1 second to determine that my default, I respond like Zechariah. And others in the Bible have as well. In Matthew chapter 14, one of my very favorite passages in all the Bible, has the disciples in a boat in the chaotic sea. The waves are churning, and they see what they think is a ghost in the distance, and it's Jesus. And Peter says to him, if it's really you, tell me to come walk on the water. So Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out and he walks on the water. Scientifically impossible, right? And as he's walking on the water, he sees the waves churning beneath him and he gets afraid. He starts to doubt and he sinks immediately as he starts doubting. And immediately Jesus reaches in, pulls him out and says, Peter, why did you doubt? The book of John, chapter 20, story of Thomas, disciple Thomas. So after the resurrection, Jesus had been appearing to his disciples. And Thomas says in this chapter, I'm not going to believe that it's actually Jesus until I could see the wounds of his hands. So I could see the wounds from the cross on his hands. And Jesus appears to Thomas and shows him the wounds of his hands. This question of Zechariah, God, how can I be sure? We do ask ourselves this when faced with what feels like a hard and impossible calling. I even think about my own call to be a pastor. Over the last 20 years, I've asked God so many times, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. God, how can you be sure of this? This is crazy. How can you be sure? 100% like Zechariah. But how might we respond like Mary? May it be to me as you say. Three things. The first is believe that the word of God is true. If we go to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it talks about the coming Messiah this way. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin is going to have a baby. She'll give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. This is exactly how the angel Gabriel unfolds God's plan to Mary. So this is exactly what's going to happen. Verse 37 of our passage in Luke chapter 1. For no word from God will ever fail. Translated in the NIRV says, because what God says will always come true. So believe that the word of God is true. Second, we ought to believe that God's good grace is present and active. Verse 30. You have found favor with God. Mary, you have found favor with God. You are on the receiving end of God's grace. Further on in verse 36, Mary learns of Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. And Mary, being Elizabeth's cousin, would have certainly known that for a senior citizen woman like Elizabeth, this was a miraculous pregnancy. God's good grace was already present and active in the plan that he was unfolding in this moment. And third, we have to believe in the unmatched power of God. Verse 38, may it be to me as you say. Not may it be to me as I say or I want. Not may it be to me as the world wants or the world says. But may it be to me because of the power of God to make that which feels like an impossible calling possible. Is this easy? No, not at all. Right? But by God's good grace, we can. We can respond like Mary. So let's tie this back to Advent. Advent, this idea of expectant waiting. Okay, do you like to text message? I love text messaging. It's like my favorite thing to do. Sometimes. And if you're an iPhone user, you know. If you're an iPhone user and you text someone else with an iPhone, while you're texting, the other person sees these three gray dots coming up called ellipses. That means something is happening. Something is happening. There's a response happening. You just have to wait for it, right? And sometimes we can wait for a long time for these texts to come through. We see those dots and we go, oh, why are we waiting so long? What's happening, right? Something is happening. We are waiting. Expectant waiting. Pregnancy, a great example, right? When I found out I was pregnant with my son, I had to wait another 8 months before he was born. Expectant waiting. Mary, Elizabeth, when they found out God's plan for them, they went through a time of expectant waiting. John and Jesus weren't just born right then. Expectant waiting. You know, Mary probably had other plans for her life. She probably did not think she'd be pregnant with Messiah as a teenager, as an unwed teenager. And Zechariah probably did not think he's going to become a father in his elderly age. And there they were, waiting, expectantly waiting for God's plan to unfold. And our challenge today and tomorrow and the days to come is for us to respond like Mary when faced with what we feel like is an impossible call from God. We respond like Mary because of the truth, the grace, and the power of God. Pray with me. God, thank you for your story. Thank you for Advent. Thank you for this time of expectant waiting. Thank you, God, that you came to earth, God, just as the scriptures said. God, thank you that you came, God. Thank you that you came as fully man and fully God to us. Pray that you'd be with us as we move through this season of Advent. Amidst all of the things, all of the Christmas things, the parties, the decorating, the baking, the traveling, God, pray that we would be able to orient ourselves to why we celebrate it all. In Jesus' name, amen.